Grace, mercy, and peace to you, each and every one, from God our Father, from God the Son, and from God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon message for this morning, the observance of the Nativity of our Lord Jesus, Christmas Day, comes to us from thoughts and preparations focused on readings of the Gospel lesson for this morning, as found recorded by inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. That's the Gospel lesson you heard read from the lectern. At this point, though, I'd like to read the Christmas story from Luke 2. We had a seminary professor who was adamant that this be part of every Christmas observance and that it be read from your old King James, which is what this is. So when your children hear words you don't know, be sure and ask your parents later what they are, so they can ask their parents what they are. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, and because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us." And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. So for our reading. What should a Christmas sermon be? Over the years, I've answered that question in a variety of ways, and I've heard it answered in a variety of ways by other preachers. But I must say, I haven't always been delighted with the sermons these various answers produced. Trying to recall them now as ghosts of Christmas past, I realize that far too many were trying to tell the hearer how to have a good, right, faithful, meaningful, satisfying, and true Christmas. That strikes me now like ribboning the owner's manual to the top of your gift and insisting that the recipient read the manual, including the 8 pages of warnings about the potential dangers of the gift, before they open the gift itself. No, it seems to me the Christmas sermon should itself be a gift. Then again, that's not quite right either. As good and beautiful and precious as the good news proclaimed this morning must be, the sermon should not give the hearer the impression that this is it, that this sermon is the whole gift of Christmas, that this is all you're going to get this year. What then should the sermon be? I thought to myself, I know. A Christmas sermon should be a gift card. No, not the "I couldn't think of anything to get you, use it once and throw it away" plastic kind of card with the magnetic strip, but the actual little card that comes on the gift and tells who's giving and who's to receive this gift. That's it. A gift card. But gift cards do more than that, don't they? I admit that the kind of gift cards I'll be scribbling out at 1 o'clock a.m. some night do little more than say from and to, but I'm thinking now of the kind of little gift cards that show how much time and thought has gone into the gift. They're beautiful in and of themselves, but in a way that only adds more beauty and joy to the real gift that still waits to be opened. I'm thinking of the kind of gift card you add when you know this may not be exactly what the person was expecting, and so you want him to know what you were thinking when you chose this gift for him. Yes, that's it. There's my sermon. So here it is. Here's a Christmas gift card for you. Merry Christmas. I know you think you get the same thing every year, but I want you to know that a lot of thought has gone into the gift you're about to receive. And it's not nearly as trite, tired, and thoughtless as you might be tempted to think. Quite the contrary. The selection of this gift for you began when there was no when yet, in a time before time. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 1. Perhaps I've already said too much. Yes, your gift is a word, but it's no cliche. It's the word before all words. It's a word that stood face to face with God, a word that saw eye to eye with God, a word, himself God. How can a word be a gift, you ask? What gift, I ask you in return, is not a word? What gift is not an expression, a solid three-dimensional speaking out of love or admiration or hope or joy? Why do all the advertisers say, give the gift that says something or other, if gifts are not more than anything else, words? Oh, don't doubt it for a moment. The giver of every good and perfect gift knows how to choose for you. The Word was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verses 2 and 3. Please pay close attention so you'll know what it is you're receiving in this gift. If you had within your grasp the agent through which all things came into being, the Aladdin's lamp of all Aladdin's lamps, the goldenest goose in the universe, the magic wand of wonder, if you could simply speak into being anything you could imagine as being, what would you make? What would you give to the person you love the most? What would then be your perfect gift? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Verses 4 and 5. I'm not trying to confuse you with riddles. Well, maybe a little. How can a word be life and light? How can one gift be all three? Have just a little more patience and you'll see. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Verses 9 through 11. You'll have to notice by now that I haven't included a gift receipt. Sadly, there have been those to whom this same precious gift was given who then refused to accept it. But there's no possibility of return here, even less of exchange. This gift is for all, just as it is for you, especially chosen for you. To paraphrase a very wise man, it's not that many who've opened the gift have then been disappointed in it. Rather, being disappointed that this was all they should be receiving, they left it unopened. Unopened. Unrecognized, unknown, unwelcomed, unloved. Unimaginable tragedy. Please, please finish reading this card and then take the time to open this gift carefully. Take the time to get to know all that this gift contains, all that it brings to you. Please don't set it aside with a quick and heartless, "It's just what I've always wanted." Please don't tuck it away in some corner of the closet, still in its wrappings. Please open it now and see what it can do. But unto all who did receive him, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and the truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. Verses 12 to 18. Am I showing tactless poor taste if I include reviews of the gift you've yet to open? I hope it won't diminish either your anticipation or your joy if I tell you here that those who have received this gift have found it no less than new birth. My gift card has grown long, and I fear I've already said too much, already given it away. I hope, though, that filled with the true and holy spirit of Christmas, you aren't thinking, I knew it, it's what I get every year. Rather, I hope your fingers are twitching with anticipation and excitement as you say to yourself, yes, it's the only gift I've ever wanted, and it's my gift again this year. So enough. Set aside the gift card and open the gift again. But know it as never before. Receive a gift upon gift from the fullness of God himself. Grace and truth, life and light, all is yours in the gift your Father has prepared and given before time, for all time, and for this year and every moment. And the gift has a name, and his name is Jesus Christ. He who has been with God since the beginning, who died on the cross for you and rose from the dead, is with you now and forever. Here again and here truly, the gift of this word in promise and proclamation, in hymns and carols, for you this day, a Savior, Jesus Christ. Know him, and in him know your Father, for he alone is the way to know the Father. He alone is the word from above, the word in the beginning. The word forever, the word of life forever, the true and gracious word that makes known to you the love of your Father, whose gift he is. What was on your wish list this year? No, not the one you shared with your family and friends, not the one you posted on Amazon or Facebook, the one hidden deep within your heart, the one you dared not show a soul, the one you only dared peek at yourself. What was on that list? Hope? It's here. The joy you lost many years ago, it's here. Freedom from the oppression of care and worry and doubt and drudgery and hopelessness and emptiness, it's here. New birth, new identity, the chance to start over from the beginning, a life that will have a meaning and purpose, a new life that will know no end, it's here. It's all here in this word that comes from the Father, filled with grace and truth. It's here in the word that is this Christmas feast already prepared and waiting for you to come, take, eat, and drink. It's in the word that fills the hearts of the brothers and sisters who surround you here, and in the hearts of the loved ones who will gather around tree and table by firelight and candlelight, singing and praying, laughing and playing, to celebrate this gift with you tonight and in the days to come. It's here in the word that the darkness can never master. It's here in the word that never fails. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.